lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
1 John chapter 1 and verse 10 says this: If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, that three-letter word, sin, is something that most of us and most people do not like to hear. We don't like to see that word, and we don't like to hear of that word, sin. Whether you are saved or unsaved, in other words, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you haven't, that word sin is a big word. When we look at the sky, we see a cloud. We can look back a little later and the cloud's gone. And that's what God has done with our great cloud of sins as believers. He's blotted them out forever. According to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22, he says this: I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I'd like to speak for the next few moments about what God has done with the believer's sin, and what should the believer's attitude be toward sin. And then, why is it important to talk about sin, to teach about sin? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22, I have blotted out, as a thick cloud, thy transgressions, and as a cloud, thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And then in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And then Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then again in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now we'll look at those verses again in just a moment. But notice this, what is the believer's attitude toward sin because of these verses I've just read? In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you wrote the word sin on a blackboard and you erase that word, it's gone forever. Just like sin when it comes to God's forgiveness. You can never find it again. Well, what has God done with the believer's sin? When we believe upon Christ, God takes our sins away. He removes them from us. They can never be found again. We will never ever see them again here or hereafter. First, God says he has blotted them out. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 once again says this, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Well, secondly, God says He has removed our sins so far away from us, they can never be found again. Psalm 103 and verse 12 again says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." And then we see thirdly that God has placed our sins in a place that cannot be found. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back." Now God is omniscient. That means He knows everything. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17 means God put our sins in a place that cannot be found, and there are certain things that God cannot do. God cannot remember our sin once it has been placed under the blood of Christ. And that's what Isaiah is speaking of in that verse. And that's actually what the Bible teaches, is that once a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, their sin is gone forever. Notice this with me also. Fourth, God says our sins are as far away as the sea. And we read that in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. There are still some places in the sea that have not been measured. We know that there's been a lot of exploration in the sea and outer space. But if you look in the sea, there are still places that have not been measured. They're so deep. Our sins are as far away as that. And then we see fifth, that God says He has forgotten our sins and will remember them no more. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And then in Hebrews 10:17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God knows everything, and the only thing that He has ever forgotten is the sin of those who believe that Jesus died for them. Remember, I said there are certain things that God cannot do. He cannot remember the sin that was in your life that was present with you because of the blood of Christ. They are forgotten. They're gone. Well, what should the believer's attitude toward sin be then? Well, since God has saved us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, should we go on and sin all we want because we know how wonderfully He has forgiven us? Of course not. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Well, Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." To sin means to miss the mark. God has set a target up, and He set that there. In other words, there's a target that must be hit, must be... You must aim at it and hit it in order to go to heaven. Well, God set the mark. And when we try to make heaven on our own, when we try to be saved on our own, that word sin comes into play. It means to miss the mark. We come short of the glory of God because we are missing His mark. Sin keeps us from the mark. And that's what it simply means, is to miss the mark. And what I want you to notice with me, there are sins of omission. This means not doing something we ought to be doing. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says this, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If we know something to do that we should be doing as a Christian and we don't do it, the Bible says that this is a sin of omission. In other words, we're not doing it. We're leaving it out, and that becomes sin. And then there are sins of commission. This, of course, means doing things we know to be wrong. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says this, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, we know that there's no flesh justified by the law. In other words, the Ten Commandments. The law was given to us as a schoolmaster to bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to help us to understand that we missed the mark, that we can't go to heaven on our own, that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves, that we're all sinners. Then we look in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 4 through 10. It says this, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If any person in this world believes or says that they have not sinned, that they've never sinned in their lives, then that verse, that last verse that we've looked at, 1 John 1:10, says if that person says they have never sinned and they're not sinning, then they're making God a liar because he says all have sinned. Well, why is it important to teach about sin? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, before a person can be saved, in other words, be ready for heaven, that person must admit he or she is a sinner. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." And then we read in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, it speaks of the publican. It says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that's the way a person approaches God when they're sorry for their sin. That is the way a person approaches God when they realize they're a sinner and they can't go to heaven on their own. They need to bow and say, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And before a saved person can be used, and if that person has been saved, before they can be used fully for the glory of God, that person must admit he or she is a sinner, saved by grace through Christ, and without Christ, we can do nothing for God. And once again, if we confess our sins as a Christian, if we can, now this is sin after we get saved. You mean it's possible for a saved person to sin? The Bible says yes. If we confess our sins, he is just and he will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've been saved, you need to be serving God. You need to get rid of, let God take care of the sin in your life. Confess it to God and get things right that your joy, your fellowship can be restored with Jesus Christ, with God. You're not lost, you're saved, but your joy is taken because you sin and you need to confess that sin to God. If you're unsaved, you need to call upon him and say, "Lord, I've missed the mark. I'm a sinner. I need you to save me."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.